Good afternoon. My name is Ian Bingham with Middleburg Communities. We're an owner, operator, and third-party property manager in multifamily and SFR.
Where are you guys based out of?
Well, we're based out of the greater DC area in Virginia, although I sit in Central Florida in Tampa, and we also have a large office in Dallas.
Nice. Oh, I didn't realize you guys are based. That's in my backyard. Anyways, so excited to welcome. We're going to talk about tech and automation. And so, I guess as an introduction, my thought when it comes to tech and automation is that one, you have to understand what it is that you're trying to do and how you value the pros and cons. So let's start with a topic that I think every management company is struggling with is packages. So our industry has, we'll just say two categories, and now there's a third category. So first category was people created these package lockers. So that's one category. There's a handful of folks in that category. Second category is sort of is similar, but it's like a package room that's secured. Same genre, same concept basically is that this is a secured place for things to go, and then residents can get a notification and then they could come pick it up. There's a third category, and we're not here to plug any company, but it is interesting that they're doing something very different is fetch, where they do delivery themselves. So a resident, there's no lockers, there's no package room. Residents get a notification when they have a delivery. They can select a time, and then Fetch is going to deliver that directly to their door. So packages can take up a lot of time. So in the first two categories, drivers, delivery, you have no control of them if they use the room or if they use the lockers. And if they're not doing that correctly, that can create a lot of time or take away a lot of time from on-site teams. And I guess a theme over here with tech and automation, and sorry, I'm hogging the mic here, is there's a lot of things that are taking up time and things on people's plates. So my thought is things that can take up take a or free up time and is not sacrificing the core of what they're trying to do. So in the case of packages, so if having to deal with packages takes up a lot of time and that's sacrificing what they're supposed to really be doing, which is leasing and dealing with residents. Thoughts about that?
And I think there's actually a fourth too, and that's what the REITs did and said, you know what, we're not accepting packages anymore. Figure it out. And that's met with some mixed reviews. If you ask, I think if you ask the REITs, there's one school of thought, and if you ask the residents, there might be a different review there. But I think when you kind of nailed it, right? There's these three silos of the way that it's being done, two of which are time usurpers, because you have little to no control over the package personnel, and they have high turnover, and so you're retraining the people that come out or what have you to your way of doing things. I've seen value in the delivery companies like Fetch. The business model being, similar to a door trash service, to where not only does it add a incremental revenue stream, but it takes the package delivery completely out of the resident hand or out of the office hands. So it gives time back. And the reality was, you say, well, who's that stealing time from? Everybody, because it would end up being anyone from the maintenance tech to the leasing person to the property manager, whoever had a free moment that would go in and see, 30 packages sitting on the floor, to go rectify that. The other area that I've seen the door-to-door package service be successful is there's an increasing amount, and part of why the locker systems and the package rooms are struggling, increasing amount of just huge packages, Casper mattresses, 65-inch TVs are $500 at Walmart now, right? And so you get two or three of those, especially around the holidays, and your package room is, in essence, inoperable. People can't get past that kind of stuff. And they got to find a friend to help bring that 65-inch TV from that package room to the door. Whereas, the package delivery service is giving you kind of a 2-hour push window notification. You get to schedule it, and it's coming directly to your door. the con there, and I've asked residents, I've asked fellow associates, is you do lose some of the instant gratification. I don't know about you, but my wife and I will go on Amazon, and if it's same day delivery, that's the one we're picking. And because you're adding a middleman, you're losing a bit of that efficiency. It might still come same day. You might have to wait until tomorrow, even if it's a call it a prime delivery package. But you know, pros and cons. I think the industry, and certainly my viewpoint, is the door-to-door delivery service has become a real contender and trying to give us back some of that amenity space and solve for a personnel issue.
Okay, so let's shift to leasing now.
Yeah.
So my core belief when it comes to leasing is the leasing specialist has the biggest, potentially the biggest impact on the prospect's decision. And I believe what prospects are looking for, they're looking for a place that they're going to enjoy. And the way they determine that is based on their experience with the leasing specialist, consultant, or the management company in general. Mm-hmm. Do they have my best interest, or are they just trying to sell me something? If something goes wrong, is this the type of person or the type of management company that will care and take care of it versus not? So there are a fair amount of automation tools for leasing. And so some of them I see as enhancing that experience, and some I see replacing it a little bit. So let's break it up into three categories. One would be phone calls, two would be follow-up, and three would be tours. Are there any categories that you would add there?
No, I think
okay.
Subcategories like closing and what have you. But yeah, no, I think you nailed the three.
Okay. So let's go with the phone. So I prefer to have a leasing agent that's on site answer the phone. Is it better to have a call center or an automated tool answer a missed phone call? Nothing is good about a missed phone call.
Right.
Is it better to have, so I would be curious. So I call a lot of properties to see how that works. There's a very large company that it says press one to speak to someone, press two for like text, a bot or something like that. I'd be so curious what the data is, how many people press two. And so in other areas in our life, yeah, we don't want to talk to somebody. We want to, something quick. We want to text versus that. But I think buying, you know, renting a home is a very different experience, and people actually want to talk to somebody, and you can really tell when the person is not on site or if the person's not even a local.
Yep.
So when it comes to answering the phone, I see those things as like a backup versus a go-to primary.
Yeah, and in that facet, I think you and I probably see that similarly. My daughter is a student at the University of Alabama. When she was looking for apartments a year or two ago, the student housing group that she had found a place for anything, and I'm talking for the leasing process, for a management inquiry, for a work order, was all centralized back to Chicago. And you'd call the property and they'd mispronounce the name of the property and the town that it was in. And you went, oh, okay, well, I'm being outsourced here. And that doesn't give you a great feeling. So, you know, I agree that there needs to be a face to the process. And I think as we talk about the automation of leasing, there needs to be an amalgamation of the processes. It's not one or the other. And to the leasing process, I fully agree. Something's better than nothing. So if it's after hours, you know, if the site staff is completely preoccupied, I'd rather it go somewhere than nowhere. You know, I think there needs to be some transparency in that we're here to give you the initial information, and someone from the property is going to follow up with you in very short order with the rest of that. And then that follow through needs to happen.
And I think when people are considering this, it also should impact their marketing spend, because let's say you're spending $5,000 a month on marketing and you're missing 30% of your phone calls. So how much you could probably, if you answered 100% of your phone calls, you might only need to spend $4,000 in marketing, or, you know, because you're going to get zero leases from missed phone calls.
That's right.
So making sure that you convert higher, and I guess you could segue into follow-ups, and I guess, conversion tools or bots on a website, if that's going to help convert better. And then, so the follow-up part in terms of automating emails and replying stuff like that, I have all for automation and doing that. It doesn't have to be manually done, real person.
No, I am as well. And I think, you know, some of the automated follow-up actually helps with making sure the message is properly conveyed and the vision of the owner. You know, sometimes entrusting that to someone that maybe doesn't have the experience level yet, or, you know, the skill set is still being developed, things can be missed. You know, that being said, you know, the other, and I'm segueing a little bit, but, you know, as we talk about automation, COVID taught us that we needed to find a way to let people tour apartments without us. And you know, look, I saw that being done via Zoom. I saw that being done in person without people. And you obviously have to have the smart tech or the ability to enable that type of tour. And again, I think that's a supplement to the process. I do think that a bit of that, the product type can influence. So at Middleburg, you know, we do SFR as well as multifamily. And we're finding that in the SFR space, you know, the touring utilizing technology has actually been very popular. Those folks tend to want to tour, you know, at 6 p.m. on a Sunday or times that may not be manned hours. And it goes back to the something's better than nothing. I would rather someone with, you know, accountability, make sure we know who's going in and out of our units, be able to tour it than not at all. And, you know, I've also seen in high dense urban environments, the same thing where, you know, the banker's hours don't work for people. And so the technology is helping supplement that. We're also looking at, you know, tour patterns. When are we the busiest and when are we not? So a lot of people are gravitating toward, well, if I deploy this technology, what can I cut out of my payroll? I don't know that that's necessarily the right or wrong mindset. I think we're all still trying to figure that out. But what I am finding is you do the homework and you figure out when you're busiest and when you're not with in-person tours, you develop the patterns, and then you staff around that and use the technology to supplement the slow periods so that you're not losing out, but at the same time, you're not running a full bore payroll on a day or time that may be your slowest.
Yeah. So it's a good segue to self-guided tours. So back to my core belief where I believe that the leasing consultant has the biggest impact. I prefer in-person tours, and my experience being on site, I spend a fair amount of time on site, is that's what prospects prefer. It could be different in different markets. It could be different in different types of properties. But in my experience and speaking to a lot of other people who are not selling a product for self-guided tours, have given this same thing. Now, at the same time, that doesn't mean there's not a use for them. Like you just said, is it better to offer self-guided tour after hours when somebody's not there, or maybe, you know, you had to close or there's staffing is short that day? Having that as an option, there's definitely value there. And I see that. Also, you know, I talk to a lot of people and I learn a lot of things, and a lease up, you know, you could have a very busy office. And so you don't want people waiting there for half hour, an hour, so that until someone's available to tour them. And so having that as an option, I do see value in that. I get a little bugged when someone's selling a product is stating that this is what everybody wants and this is the only way it should be, or this is the way to be. I do see value in those products, but that being the future and the only way to lease, I don't see that.
No, and I don't think we're there as a society, and you know, we can go down quite the rabbit hole. We won't. But I think COVID taught us that humans are mammals and mammals want personal interaction, right? And so to your point, just because someone takes a self-guided tour doesn't mean that someone from the staff shouldn't then be assigned as the point of contact for that, for the follow-up, for the follow-through, for the question answering, you know, a follow-up tour if needed, all the things that we would still want to do. But yeah, I think as a supplemental and as a solution to, again, making sure that we don't miss any of the traffic, because we're spending a lot of money to pull people through the door. and to have them come through the door and to stand there waiting for an hour or to not be conducive to their schedule is something that I wouldn't want to miss out on.
Are there any, as we're wrapping up, are there any categories for tech and automation that you're excited about?
You know, there's we're looking at, you know, the in-unit stuff and the access control, and I think that's ever evolving. Some of the other stuff, you know, there's groups out there that have created some work order automation and some facilities automation that I think are really exciting. You know, you kind of plug in what service technicians are best at what disciplines, you know, plumbing, electrical, whatever it is. And those service tickets through, you know, the utilization of the property app get auto routed to the person who's best to fix that particular problem. And I think that it speeds our response time. It speeds our ability because I don't have the guy who's great at plumbing trying to work on electrical and taking 2 hours. I have the guy who's great at electrical working on electrical and takes an hour. So it's more efficient. So we have more time to service the customer and to maintain the property. So stuff like that's really, I think, exciting and is gaining a lot of traction.
Yeah. I'm not a maintenance guy, but I'm hearing about that. And I think that that is a huge category where there's a lot of room for improvement in terms of efficiency, in terms of hiring, training, developing.
Capital planning too. Those same apps are showing you pin drop overlays of where you have issues like leaks or plumbing backups, et cetera. So, you know, you take the time every month to look at those, develop the trends, and you go, oh, we might have a collapsed drain in this side of the property. And you're going to catch it earlier because you're getting, you know, a very simple trended view of issues on your property. So those kind of technologies, I think, are really going to be helpful.
One thing that's really interesting to me is eliminating model units. And there's a technology that's coming out that you can virtually stage, but while you're in there. So you hold up an iPad and you're looking at the unit through the iPad. You're physically in it, and then you see it furnished. So now every unit becomes a model and you don't have to sacrifice the rent or pay for the furniture.
Yeah, no, and I'm seeing those too. And I know we're running short on time. My daughter's an interior design major, so she uses software like Revit and some of the other stuff. So I got to be an early adopter on some of this stuff because she was showing it to me and then teaching me the applicability to my industry. And I think that stuff is fantastic. And to your point, you know, you take a model unit, you know, $2,000 a month, $24,000, you slap a 5 cap on that. And all of a sudden you go, wow, that's a lot of money lost. Yep. To gain the ability to lease that back is huge.
Yeah. So I think I think where tech and automation can make people more efficient without sacrificing the personal experience or what residents really want, and also preparing people for, we're all experiencing downtimes, staffing things, somebody sick, work schedule, whatever it may be. And a competitive advantage is not missing a beat when something is down, I think is the way people should be looking at it.
100%. I agree.
Okay, so we finish up with some curious random questions. What is an interesting habit you have? Doesn't have to be interesting if it's just effective also.
I don't know that it's interesting, but it is effective. I sleep with a pen and paper next to my nightstand still. I find that...
You wake up in the middle of the night to write things down?
I do. I know that if I don't do that, I'll forget. But I'm also one of those people that REM sleep more often than not eludes me. And so getting that off my chest both helps me get back to sleep and make sure that that random middle of the night thought becomes an action item for the next day.
I think writing thoughts down is very effective, whether it's right when you wake up or right before you go to sleep. But yes, that is a good habit and something that I've been working on. What is something interesting that you purchased in the last year that you recommend?
It has nothing to do with the industry. I bought my wife a new SUV, and it, you know, we talk about technology and the technology that her car has, it continues to progress at such a blinding pace. Again, we're not plugging product, but you know, Volkswagen at this point, is they're right on the precipice of the self-driving that Tesla brags about, right? So I could take my hands off the wheel and it'll pull me back into the lane. It'll yell at me if I'm not looking up often enough. So if I'm one of those people with the horrible habit that we all hate, and I look down at my phone for some reason, her phone will give, or her car will give me a chime and tell me, don't do that. Which is just amazing. So, probably one of the cooler and more innovative purchases that we made in the last year.
That's cool. So it pings you if you start writing stuff down while you're driving too.
Well, if I'm looking down at my phone, it absolutely will give me about a 10 second leeway, and then it'll tell me to pay attention.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, Ian, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Have a good one.